All right. Hey, Dreamers, this is Logan from MasterChef Junior, Season 2 winner. Keep dreaming and keep cooking with your passion.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I am talking with Jeff Woods, who is making his dreams come true by surrounding himself with high-level CEOs and ridiculously successful entrepreneurs, and figuring out how to get those people to mentor him. Glad to have you on the show, Jeff.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be here.
Awesome. I'm so glad that we connected. We talked a couple weeks ago on the phone for the first time. We were connected by our good friend Doc Kennedy.
Yes, I know Doc.
And so glad that Doc told me to reach out to you. And it was great getting to know you and find out what you were all about. And I would love for you to start out by sharing some of that information, your background and history, and how you figured out that this is where you wanted to head in life.
Yeah, sure. So I am in the middle of that journey going from employee to entrepreneur. And I'm sure many of the people out here, you've got a dream cast and something that you want to be doing that you're not doing right now. And the question is, how do you get there? And for me, the story was at the end of 2013, here I am. I'm doing my medical device job, which is an awesome job. I sell medical equipment in the hospitals, and thought that this is what I was going to do really for the indefinite future. At the end of 2013, something happened where one of my colleagues, he was 35 at the time, and he had a stroke. And here I am going, holy crap, I've got a wife, I've got a baby, I've got a house. What happens to my family if something happens to me? I didn't like that answer. And so just started thinking I really needed to build passive income. And the very next week, my company made a change to my commission structure, and overnight, my income was slashed by 40%. So the fire was ignited that I needed to start building passive income, and I needed to start immediately. And I knew that it wasn't what you know, but it's who you know. And I heard that Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And I thought about, who are those five people? And very quickly, I came to the realization that if I ever wanted to own my own business, if I ever wanted to have an abundance of passive income, I needed to start surrounding myself with people who had those things. And you fast forward, all of a sudden, like you mentioned, Joe, I'm being mentored by these high-level CEOs and very successful entrepreneurs, and they're pouring into me on a daily basis. And it's just accelerated my life so fast, and that's why I launched my podcast, The Mentee.
And I love the idea of The Mentee, because it's you're just trying to figure out and learn all this stuff, and at the same time, you're getting these high-level people to give not just you that information, but blast it out to people all around the world.
Yeah, totally true. Totally true. Because the reality is, not everybody gets a chance to sit down with the former executive vice president for Tony Robbins and get to hear, how do you sell, or how do you create a coaching business? Fortunately, I do. So I record those conversations, and then you get to listen to them.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're doing an awesome service for so many people out there that wouldn't have that opportunity otherwise. So let's talk about some of the first steps that you took once you figured out, like, okay, I need to get this passive income. What now?
So for anybody who has that dream, the question is, what do you do first? And you've got to get clear on what it is that you want. For me, I knew I wanted to get into real estate investing, so I wanted to start meeting successful real estate investors. And Joe, can we use you as the example?
Of course.
Yeah. So what are you working on right now? What's your big goal, and where do you need help?
Well, right now I'm working on speaking, getting speaking gig events, and doing school assemblies and stuff like that.
That's right. And so if you had to imagine the ideal person who could help you, who what would they be like?
Probably quite similar to me, wanting to do a little bit of everything. They have some at least some tech savviness to them, business background, and they know how to market.
So you're looking for somebody who has a similar background to yours, but has already made it as a successful speaker, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So there it is. you've got to get that clarity. So Joe has that clarity. The next thing that I did and that I encourage you to do is you got to talk about it. And you got to talk about it consistently. What I mean by that is every day you have conversations with your friends and they all start out the same. What's new? What's going on? What's up? And the answer is always not much. What's up with you? That is a missed opportunity.
Every time.
This is an opportunity. I challenge you today to call up your best friend specifically with the intention of working this in and say, hey man, what's up? And they'll be like, not much. What's up with you? And you go, you know, a lot recently. I've been focusing on getting these, growing my business as a speaker, and I'm looking to surround myself with some other successful public speakers. And zip your mouth. Something amazing happens when you start sharing with people what it is that you are looking for. People have an innate desire to help one another. This is when things really start to light on fire.
You know, it's funny when people ask me like what's going on, my answer used to be, well, you know, I'm doing this or that at work and it's really boring. You don't really shouldn't be that interested. But now I'm like, yeah, I got the speaking events. I'm building an online school. I'm helping kids in the school run their own podcast. I'm doing this. You know, we just raised a couple months ago, we raised $600 for charity in one night. Doing a live show with my show and doing other podcasts and there's so many things going on. It's just like flying by, and it's like I try to explain to people, you know, because if I just said not much, you'd be like, oh, I guess Joe's just bumming it at home living off his wife.
right. But it's yet so many people talk that way. And if you can make that shift to the point where, you know, you don't have to get to tell everybody everything that's going on in your life, but to be able to quickly articulate where you need help. In the conversation, one of four things happens. Either the first one, that person is your solution. They are a successful speaker and you just didn't know. Second thing is they're not that person, but they know someone who is and they would consider making the connection. Or maybe they're not the person. They don't know anybody. But what you've done is you've planted a seed. And as they go throughout their days and they meet new people, when they come across that speaker, they're like, oh, I got to connect him with Joe. And then the fourth thing is they do nothing. Which you didn't lose a damn thing. When you put this into practice, if you do this consistently, I guarantee you results. This is such a game changer, and it seems so simple, but I challenge you to do it. Do it today. No excuses. When you are done with this, pick up the phone and do it. And if you don't do this today, I challenge you to ask yourself, why is your life not changing? And then I tell you to go look in the mirror.
Well, I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. I would agree that if you're just, you know, you call on your friend and you just sit there and say, well, nothing much is going on, then nothing much is probably what's going to happen with that conversation. And they could be your absolute best friend that you've known forever. But that doesn't mean that they know everything that's going on or how they can help you or how you can help them. And sometimes it's just little ways that end up being huge ways.
Yeah. And if let me help you change the way you look at things here real quick. One of my mentors said, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. So instead of looking at your best friend like this person you know so well and, oh, you don't want to share this with them because you don't think they can help you, don't view them as the solution. View them as a degree of separation. We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation, that you can be connected to anybody in the world through just 6 degrees. Your best friend is one of your degrees. Tap into them, because through that degree, you can tap into the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And as you start to reach out to these people, what gets fun, if, you know, Joe, I share something with you that what I'm looking for, and you're able to connect me with somebody who was 2 degrees from me now becomes one. These degrees start to flatten, and all of a sudden you're at the point where you're no more than 2 degrees of separation from everybody you could possibly need.
Yeah. Well, the joke is always about Kevin Bacon and how everybody's connected to him. But I totally agree. I think that you need to look deep into yourself as far as like, okay, how do I talk to people and what is it that I present to the world? I mean, I've constantly am viewing myself as like, how am I portraying myself to the world right now at this second? I'm not marketing to sell to people. I'm marketing to want to be friends with people because I want more friends, because I want more relationships. I want to learn from other people's stories just as much as I want to help other people with, you know, with the stories that I've accrued over the years, not just of myself, but from other people. You know, it's all that. So, you know, really figure out how you can portray the best possible version of yourself, even when you're not trying to sell anything.
Absolutely.
So how did your family take it, Jeff, when you were like, hey, I'm going to start these passive incomes and, you know, these revenue streams that aren't coming from my job? Was it like, was the first question, what's passive income?
You know, I remember I'm sitting down with my wife and I'm just saying, I need to do this because this is what's happening. Our income just got slashed. And it, you know, month after month went by and ended up being well over a year. We spent more than we made every single month. We were bleeding cash. We were hemorrhaging cash to the point where our income almost hits, or our bank account almost hit zero. And in that moment, you know, my wife looks at me and she goes, okay, I get it. I get why you're waking up early and putting in the hours, why you're staying up late, putting in the hours, why you have to work on weekends. She suddenly gets it because she knows that under no circumstance should our ability to live the type of life we want to live be dependent on a company, on somebody else. I want that control. I want to be the one who says how much I make, when I get to go on vacation, if we get to go buy new clothes or do whatever. That's me, not someone else. And you can hear me getting fired up about it just because I'm passionate about it.
Well, it's clear that you're passionate about it. And I love the passion and I appreciate the passion. And, you know, a lot of people can't quite understand that concept of like, okay, this is all about me and what I'm capable of bringing to the world and getting paid for what I bring to the world, not just what I bring to one company that benefits people above me and people that below me and the customers, you know, to the side, because you're just one, you know, cog, or was it key to the cog or something to that effect, something about a machine with gears in it,
cog in the machine.
Yes, cog in the machine. And and that's, you know, for some people that's awesome because, you know, it's less you have to think about. You can just show up and you can do your thing. But then if you know, the job goes away, what do you do? Or in your case, the job probably almost unfortunate, it didn't go away. You got slashed by 40%. That in a lot of ways hurts even more because the uncertainty, it gives you a level of uncertainty. Like, do I stay in this job or do I go look for another job? Well, another job might not be so good either. But at least here, I've been here a while. I know the people. I know what, like, I already know what's going on. You know, but you're taking a 40% cut for familiarity at that point. And in a lot of ways, it's like, hey, if you had lost the job, well, you get unemployment, you know, and then you could start to figure out something else from there, because you're being basically pushed off the ship into the water, and you have no other choice at that point. So, I mean, it's good and bad. Which way did you take? I mean, obviously you took it a certain way because you came out swinging.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I still work for a great company. And the bottom line is the adjustment that they made was not outside of industry standard. You know, my job was just the comp plan was just that much better going into it. But still, I learned a lot from this experience. I allowed my standard of living to adjust as my income adjusted up. My standard of living went up and it shouldn't have. You know, and so all of a sudden I'm living a life that is far too extravagant, spending time and money on things that I should not have been doing. And my company makes an adjustment and it's still a very good job. I still earn a good income, better than I could go anywhere else. You know, I'm stuck. That's what I've got. And now I've got to adjust my lifestyle back down and really buckle down, get a business going on the side and build a passive income.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. You know, a lot of people are always like, you make six figures now, and that's so awesome. I'm like, yeah, but you're one step closer to the door every time you get that bump. Closer to 100,000 than over 100,000.
Yeah, you start making six figures. That's great. Then you got a $4,000 mortgage. What now?
Yeah, Yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't think I would live outside of what I live in now, regardless of how much I was making. I would probably travel more, but the thing is travel is one-time expenses. It's not like, oh, every month I gotta, you know, hit that mortgage for $4,000 or $6,000 or $8,000. And it just, like you said, it just scales up. Okay, I get a bigger house. Well, why?
Yep.
Oh, everybody else, that's what society expects of me. Well, that's why my saying is, you know, society starts with you. So if, you know, you're fine with living in a two-bedroom house with one bathroom and you're making $100,000 a year traveling all around the world and your mortgage is only like $1,000 a month or even $2,000 a month, then that's fine. Why do you have to spend more on your house? If it's mm-hmm. nice and you enjoy it and it's sufficient for what you need, you know, that's on you. Why should you live to anybody else's standard?
I agree with you.
Jeff, what has been the biggest roadblock for you going forward into your entrepreneurial pursuit?
It's amazing I have not been asked that question before. My biggest roadblock, you know, ultimately it's me. Ultimately, it's my mindset and my limiting beliefs. You know, we all have an idea in our mind in terms of what we think we can achieve and what is realistic. And we'll do this test right now. You mean, Joe, if I said, I want you to go out and I want you to earn a dollar today on the side, could you do it?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I mean, if people in New York City can make $60,000 a year just panhandling, I think I can make a dollar.
Okay, so you feel comfortable with that. If I said, I want you to go out and make $10 today, do you think you could figure out a way to do it?
Yeah, I think I could.
What about 100?
Would I want to? I don't, that's the thing.
Yeah, so keep going with it for the purpose of the exercise. What if I told you to go out and make $100 today?
I probably.
What about 1,000?
If time is no money, if time is no thing, then yes. Yeah, I probably could.
I mean, if I put a gun to your head and said, go earn $1,000 today, could you go do it?
I mean, do I get some starting capital?
Nope.
Oh. $1,000 might be tough then.
Okay. So see, that's where Joe's mind starts to break down. As I've started to surround myself with these people at these higher levels, I do this with them. They feel like they to the point where they could go out and earn $10,000 today, $100,000 today. One guy went out and said he could earn $1,000,000 today if he wanted to. What's the difference? What's the difference between guys like Joe and me and the guys who feel like they could go out and generate seven figures in one day and they've done it? It's their mindset. It's the way that they think. So when you ask what's the number one thing that's holding me back, it's my mindset right now because I'm not earning seven figures in a day. And when my mindset adjusts, that's when it will start to happen. Make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I get that from like a psychological standpoint and all that. I mean, I mean, unless you're... I don't know. One day is only 24 hours, man. And if you're just one person, I mean, I guess what they would probably do is, I mean, and what's his face has said this as well. Donald Trump was, you know, like, oh, network marketing is the thing. If I lost every dime I own today, I would start in network marketing and make it big again. And I guess technically you could, but then again, like I said, it's only one day, 24 hours. If I was starting in New York City where there's a ton of people walking around all day, every day, then I live in the suburbs, man. You know, I'm not going to go sell lemonade on the corner or anything like that to make a buck. You know what I mean? Cause I'm probably not going to get as many as I would if I was in New York City, like around Times Square.
So vice versa. So, you know, just to extrapolate this out, where you're going with that is where can you physically go and trade dollars for hours? You know, whether it's standing on a corner selling a product, like that is physically doing that. I used to think that way. Now what I think about is, what product can I think of real quick that I can pre-sell. I can set up a webinar for 7 p.m. tonight. I can spend the next hour creating Facebook ads that will drive traffic to an opt-in page where people will go sign up for my webinar. And once they're on the webinar, I'll add an insane amount of value to these people. And in the end, offer something that will convert them to a program that'll cost about $1,000. And if I can get 1,000 people on the webinar and a 10% hit rate, that's $100,000.
So before this, you asked me what I needed help with, and what was my answer, Jeff?
He wants to become a speaker.
Well, no. I needed somebody to help me with marketing. That's where, you know, knowing myself and knowing what my strengths and what I'm weak at. That's the thing that I've been trying to get better. I've made some strides, but you know, I definitely, if I could, you know, hook up with a marketer, then yeah, I have the skills and the knowledge to make that happen. What it comes down back to is my marketing skills up to par yet to make something like that happen in one day?
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, but then it also goes back to one of the other things I said, which is, would I want to make more, you know, would I want to push myself to have to do a webinar and all that in just one day?
Yeah.
But with that said, I personally have wanted to avoid webinars.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not that marketing, I'm not that sales oriented type person, like that in that situation. So.
Sure. And, you know, there's the idea for everybody who's listening. The idea of this was just to show and demonstrate, you know, where does your mind start to limit? Where is that point where all of a sudden your mind starts to go, I don't know if that's realistic? Because the point is, there are people out there who think it is. And they'll put a plan into place. Granted, they don't have a gun to their head. They don't have to do it within 24 hours. But they take consistent action every day to set themselves up so that they can achieve those goals and that those dreams do become reality.
No, hey, I agree. Again, the psychological part of it is it makes a lot of sense. And removing those limits makes even more sense for somebody who is limited even more than I've already mm-hmm. limited myself to, like, hey, I would just go buy some fruit or something and go up in New York City and start selling fruit on the street, like my mm-hmm. great grandfather started out as a huckster. So
nice.
Yeah. So that's just like, hey, how do I get quick money? Got a product and the need and the, you know, people that want that need fulfilled. So, that's the quickest way. I mean, as far as like building a product and all that, I mean, hey, it can happen, but again, there's only 24 hours and I'd much rather spend that 24 hours, doing something that I know could make money rather than like, okay, well, I got the gun to my head. Let me try to create something and then try to market it and do everything all at once and stumble and fall on my face and probably make $10.
Right.
But Jeff, what was your childhood dream growing up?
I wanted to be a karate instructor for a while. You know, as you get older, you start to revise those things. Ultimately, you know, my dream, I really wanted to have, it was more materialistic. Do you find that when you ask people this question that it was often a materialistic answer?
No, I think most of the people I've interviewed, I mean, maybe a couple, but I think most of them have been, a lot of them wanted to help people in one way or another. And they just didn't realize it at the time. Like, hey, I wanted to be, this, you know, X. And X, really, the whole reason was because I wanted to help people, not because I really wanted to be what that was. I just didn't know it at the time.
You know, as a kid, because that was the question, right? As a kid, what did you want to, what was your dream? Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid, I wasn't thinking that deep. It was like, I want the big house. I want the nice car. I want the hot wife. Well, I have those things now. And yeah, they're great. They're a lot of fun, especially the wife part. But you know what? What really matters is, like you are saying, adding value to others and helping others. And now that I've been able to step into a platform with the podcast where I am truly adding value to other people, it's one of the most rewarding things I've ever experienced. As fun as it is to have high-level people mentoring me and how cool that is, it pales in comparison to the experience of going out and touching the lives of someone else.
So I used to talk to, and I've never actually brought this up on the show before, but I used to talk to a friend of mine, and we would talk about what would you do if you had like limitless money, right? Limitless resources, and you know, how much like happiness could that bring to you, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember my answer to him, and this was like 10 years ago when, I mean, everything was rocking and rolling in my family's business and, you know, it's whatever. And I said, you know, I don't think that I would want, you know, I don't need unlimited resources because I still like to get the best for my money at the time. You know what I mean? I don't mind putting in the research and reading reviews and stuff like that, because otherwise I would just end up buying like, oh, I need a glass. Well, there's 10 different glasses that look like the one that I want. I'll just buy all 10 of them and see which one ends up not breaking or ends up being the best glass that I could buy. And I'm just using that as an example. As you all you listeners can't see, I have a glass sitting in my hand. But or a wallet or a pen or a phone. You know what I mean? Like, you could go through every single phone that's out there, and it's not going to make you any happier to have 10 different phones laying around that, like, when they all only one of them is worth having. You follow what I'm saying, Jeff?
I do. You know, bottom line, humans, we need restraint. We need, yes, I do follow.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just me. I don't think that even if I had all that money, I still wouldn't want to spend it like, oh, I'll just buy all 10 phones and then figure out which one's the best,
right?
That's just me. Now I guess there at a certain point there's that time versus you know, how much your time's worth analysis that you could be like, well, if I buy all 10 phones, it takes me less time to just try, you know, see which one I like in hand, rather than going to the store, testing them out, reading reviews online, doing all the research, you know, watching videos. And I just don't understand some people that do that or buy things because it's a name on a product necessarily. So I don't know, that's just me. But you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting all that stuff though. I because you know what, it's you know, they say money can't buy you happiness, right? But it can buy things that make you happy. But really, a lot of times those things are just filling that hole that,
right,
that you need something else, you just don't know what that thing is or don't have it yet.
The way that it's been phrased to me by a lot of my mentors is money is not happiness, but it gives you the ability to make an impact. You know, look at Bill Gates. Look at the company he built. That's not ultimately what he's going to be known for. He will be known for his philanthropic efforts to cure cancer around the world. He is using his resources for good, to affect change, and that's really what it's about.
Yeah. Well, it was the race to the top, and then the race to give it all away.
That's right.
So, with all that said, Jeff, what does your dreams for the future look like?
Ah, see, at that point, this is where it really changes. You know, I still have, you know, very specific monetary material goals, but the real goal is surrounding, affecting change, showing others how they can accelerate their lives by surrounding them with the right mentors, the right ideas. And at this point in my life, with the podcast and the course that I've developed and the coaching that I do, you know, I actually feel like every day when I wake up, I'm trading my life for something of value. Which, isn't that what you're doing every day? When you wake up and you go to work, you're not doing that. You are trading your life every single day. You are trading your time for something. Are you getting the good end of the deal? And I'm finally in the point where I'm stepping into a space where I feel like I'm getting the good end of that deal.
You know, I appreciate the honesty there with the whole materialistic things, but I don't think, again, I don't believe that the materialistic things are something that should be shunned or like, oh, well, you should just live like a monk and help everybody all the time. Because you know what? Those monks still live in something. They still wear clothes. They still have, you know, they still have something that is material that they have to live. There's basic needs and wants and stuff like that. So I appreciate the honesty there that's what you're for, and that's okay.
Yep. Open book.
Jeff, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we share how people can connect with you?
Yeah, sure. You know, you as listeners, you're listening to this podcast for a reason, which tells me a lot about you, because clearly you want to invest in yourself. Now, knowledge is awesome, but if it's just knowledge, if you're just hearing it, it's just data. Knowledge backed by action becomes power. And I encourage you to honor Joe, because he puts a lot of time and effort into here to put this podcast out for you, to honor him by taking action when you listen to an episode. Whatever the topic is, take action on it, implement it. This is what will change your life. And for those of you where this episode has resonated with you, where you are saying, all right, I'm the average of the five people I spend the most time with. I got to make some adjustments. You know, take action. Get clear on what you want. Start talking about it. Those are two ways. And I put something together for you, for the people who want to take action, as I look back on what I did to surround myself with the mentors that I now have. I realized it was seven specific steps that I took. And it wasn't like I sat down and said, what are the seven steps I can take to upgrade my personal connections? It wasn't like that at all. But it really was seven things. And I put those into an action guide so that you can take it, and hopefully it will change your life the way that it has mine. And if you want that, just go to findthebestmentors.com, and it's right there.
Awesome. I'll have that in the show notes at howthedream.co.
Awesome.
And I appreciate the compliments to the show. I think that people should be taking action every day to make things better. And I've talked about this on the show before, I'm pretty sure, about that whole comment of the you know, you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most or spend the most time with. That doesn't mean that you have to get rid of the people that that you're close with. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I got, sorry, mom, sorry, dad, sorry, grandmom. You know,
totally true. You know, totally true.
Just not going to hang out with you anymore. But, you know, it just means that you need to, make your reach broader to more people, whether that's getting on Facebook and connecting with more people there. Twitter is a great place to get involved with the conversation and pick it up and just get involved. And, you know, so it doesn't even have to be just in physical, but it could be over, you know, digitally as well.
Yeah. And Joe makes such a good point. I mean, just because you're upgrading your inner circle doesn't mean you have to cut everybody out. I mean, there are going to be those people that, I'm just going to tell you, they need to be cut. If they're bringing you down, they need to be cut. But, you know, when it comes to seeking counsel, seeking advice from people, you know, if Joe wants to become a successful speaker, he should not be asking advice from somebody who is not a successful speaker. He should only be asking for advice from the people who have done it. If he wants to get good at marketing, he should not be asking somebody who is not a marketing expert. It's just that simple.
Yeah, you definitely have to be going to the right places to get the right information from people that are successful at what they do, and not just anybody and everybody. That's... Definitely a good point. Jeff, would you like to share how people can connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me. The podcast is The Mentee, like mentor mentee. And that website is findthebestmentors.com. And then you can find me all over social media. It's Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F Woods, W-O-O-D-S. So Twitter's at Jeff Woods, and I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and all the other ones.
Awesome. Well, I will definitely have them on howtodream.co. And, you're the second Geoff that we've had on this show.
Nice. Yeah. He probably was awesome.
He was awesome. He is always awesome. A good friend of mine, lives around the corner, and musician and all that. So it's always Geoffs are always welcomed here.
I love it.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and I'd love to have you on the show again at some point to follow up on how you've been.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.